This is Games from the Cellar, the board gaming podcast.
So this is Adventure Tactics, Domian's Tower. And there's a lot of pieces, so it takes us a little while to kind of get everything set up. That's what we're working on right now.
I think we're getting pretty good at it after the third week.
So this is our third
time. It's definitely a board game that wanted to be a video game.
Yeah, I don't really have a problem with that, though.
I suppose. I'm not sure I'd put it quite that succinctly. But it certainly does have scenarios that you do. So it kind of reminds me of Mechs and Minions, although the flavor to it, the flair to it is very different. Mechs and Minions sort of has a comedy routine to it.
So from my understanding, this is similar to Gloomhaven in that you have characters you control, you run through different scenarios based on what the campaign in the book says, and then depending on the outcome, you get different consequences that change your characters and you progress into the next scenario.
So it's a bit of a choose your own adventure, except the adventure sort of gets choosed when you fail at something.
Yes.
Or succeed.
So it's
a dungeon crawler.
It's a lot of pieces, a lot of cards.
It's a deck buildy sort of play to it.
I don't know that I'd call it a dungeon crawler. It's more like a string of boss fights.
Yes, I will give you that. Because there's no connection in the map. It's not like you're walking through a particular category.
Yeah, we're not exploring anything. You put down the square grids, and they have a whole collection, but they're not distinct at all, right? There's a bunch of tiles that are each... 8x8?
Yeah, you can play chess when you're not doing this.
Yeah, I mean, there's no terrain or anything like that so far.
We've had the brick wall and the wall of fire.
Those are pieces that get added in.
Yeah, there was a guy with abilities that spawned them. I don't think that counts as terrain.
We've done four scenarios at this point, right?
More than four.
Five. We've done five
scenarios. We're fifth level, but we started at first.
No, it was the goblins, the wraiths.
We failed the one. They stole the baby.
Yeah, then we skipped
Don't give away the storyline.
We skipped the ooze, and then we fought the slime lady.
I think we did get a level even when we lost the baby, didn't we?
I thought we did.
Yeah. That's only three. Oh, the statues and then the slime lady. So you're right, four scenarios.
Okay. So that makes sense, and that's why we're fifth level. So this is going to be our third night playing it, but we're going to be playing our fifth scenario on this run. And you roll dice for damage, just like a good old traditional D&D or something like that. Each scenario is kind of in a box. You've got your players out on the board. It comes with miniatures. We're playing with the stand-ups because the art is so much nicer on the stand-ups. And you got health points, and they take them from you, and you give them to them. And the way you decide what attack or defense or healing or whatever it is you do is by what cards you pull up in your hand. So and you deck build. Every time you raise up a level, you get a chance to put new cards into your deck and to raise your level on something. So it's kind of like D&D in a box, and you don't have to have a DM.
It's fun. I mean, I definitely think the appeal here is the leveling up.
Yeah, I agree.
Because
that's always been the appeal on any of these games, including D&D, as far as I'm concerned, is the ability for your character to rise.
So when you level up, you can choose from any of the five base classes or any of the elite classes that you qualify for. So, for example, the next time we level up, I need to take a level in Wizard. So the level after that, I can take a level in Ninja because I'll have levels in Archer and Rogue and Wizard, so then I'll get to be a ninja. And there's, you get the level up cards, and they give you different features and passives, and you add the cards to your deck, and it's cool. It's fun. Yeah. Okay. Very enjoyable.
So let's go save a baby.
Well, I was just going to add something. I mean, it is kind of rare when a game makes it out onto the table three nights in a row.
That's actually really impressive for us.
It has been convenient that it has been just the three of us for the past three nights.
Yeah.
But we all wanted to play like Thunder Road again. But this came out. We tried it. Let's play it again. And here we are on a third night playing it. I funded this on Kickstarter back in 2019. I received it in the fall of 2020.
And we're just getting to it now.
We're just getting to it now. Because if you remember in 2020, 2021, 2022.
It was an awful quiet time for gaming.
Yeah. It was Board Game Arena helped out a lot to catch, you know, to
get us through the hard time. But yeah, yeah. Right.
So now it's nice to be able to pull out something like this, and nobody has to study for hours to be a DM, or
and we're allowed to breathe in the same space. It's nice.
Exactly. Yeah, it's lovely.
It's perfect.
There we go.
All right. So we'll play it, and then afterwards, we'll talk about all the problems it has.
Thanks, Sam.
The perfect really, game, really and you're gonna it. Complain. So hey, we're back.
Yes, we are.
Once again, we kicked some butt and took names.
We
and
actually did this time. We got two
solid battles.
We even got the bonus objectives.
Yeah.
So each
we got the goodies.
Each encounter here has the regular objective, which is basically do you win, and then the bonus objective, which if you complete the bonus objective, you get bonus so goods.
You win special. You kill the creatures in a particular order.
Although, sometimes they're easier than others. They haven't all been terribly interesting, but I do like that there are bonus objectives there.
Yeah, it's one more thing. Yeah. It's a little bit more of a challenge.
And I agreed with you earlier that it felt like when we lost that one, like we lost the baby. Let's rack it up and do it again. Because, you know, if it was a video game, we would have
done that.
Until you get to the top tier, it's like you don't play for like 3 stars. You got to get the 5 stars.
Right. Yeah. You got to.
What are you guys talking about? This is an adventure. You got to do well on the first shot or you're taking all of the gravity out of the situation. It's like, hey, you lost the baby, all right? It's not like you get do-overs in real life. You lost the baby. You go for it. I mean, you have to do it. Now you're rescuing the baby.
You know, he's right. I remember in real life when the Child of Destiny was stolen by a horde of undead wraiths, there wasn't anything I could do about it.
And it felt bad. You know, it hurt inside. Yeah. But yeah, we pushed forward. We powered through. And
so
eventually, hopefully, we'll come and
I don't
come
think
back
so.
In
I
touch
think
with
that
it.
Child has been eaten by wraiths.
Mm, is that his destiny? Is that what his destiny was?
I think that was his destiny.
Do wraiths eaten by even wraiths? Eat? Yeah, that's right. It's some destiny.
Well, you know, there was also that one random giant hobgoblin in that fight.
The one that killed, though.
Yeah.
That was Riley,
is that the
right?
one that was in front of the giant
I don't think
ooze,
we've actually killed anything. Like
we knocked him out?
I guess now that you mention it...
this is Pokemon, where they faint?
Yeah.
It's like the A-team, the helicopter crashes into the cliff, but everybody's
thinking
okay.
Back, for the fight against the Griffin Lord, if we didn't complete the bonus objective, there was a item added called, like, the Griffin Lord Lives. So maybe he's dead.
Yeah, I think.
Because we didn't get
I think we
the
have slain
Griffin
these
Lord Lives.
Creatures. We have slain. Slayed?
Maybe we could have called him. You mean like we could have called him to fight on our side or something?
No.
Okay, so this is getting pretty philosophical. I can't help but think
random
that
encounter.
Somebody might want to be interested in how the game plays.
Oh,
as opposed
to okay. It's a fun game. It's definitely, it feels lightweight, but it's surprisingly intense once you get going.
There is the geometry is a little more complicated than it looks like it's going to be at first.
It does. I mean, it is kind of like settling into my mind as a, like, this is how to win the encounter. You want to deal a lot of damage, right? You can't
and not die.
That's not important.
It is.
Well, to Sam, it's
not.
It's
contraire.
To Sam, it's not. He's just decided that those two healing potions are his all the time. So he just goes headfirst into battle, gets himself killed, and says, "It's all right. I get to magically pop up."
Has there been a battle that you haven't been knocked out yet?
No, there isn't one.
And several of them, you've been knocked out twice, and you've use both of the potions to save yourself.
This is true. This is
bad.
True.
Guys, you didn't beat me to them. That's what matters.
And I've gotten better about using that offensively and the fact that I can just stand
up.
And
max your way to do that. So I keep
I'm just
you,
playing
you,
the
you,
game.
You need to be. You need to throw yourself into your character more. And you know, this is a board game. This is not an RPG. You're not really playing a character. But at the same time, you kind of get a feel for the
look,
person
John,
you're
if
playing.
We ever play an RPG, I promise I do more role playing in RPGs.
Oh, well, John really got into it when the option was for me to go ahead and kill the bad guy, but the cleric would get toasted as well.
I did advocate for fireballing
yes,
the cleric.
Yes.
Go but ahead, we
fireball that cleric.
We found a way.
It'll be fine.
It worked out.
And Chris figured out a way to do it without
and
completely
slaughtering. So the cleric lived. I was just role playing my character who was confident.
Kill the cleric with him. Kill the cleric with him. That's what you were saying the whole time.
Burn him.
We don't
burn
need her.
The cleric.
face. I was confident the cleric would live, and we needed
Did we not use both healing potions that turn?
No, we didn't. We had another potion.
I did not use a healing potion. I actually kind of feel like that's cheating, personally. I think that you shouldn't.
It's kind of a weird game mechanic.
Well, and one that you fully utilize.
Get out of jail free card.
And look, it's like they gave you two healing potions in encounter. I'm going to use two healing potions per encounter. Well,
that's why we have you carry them.
Yes, right. It's like you got the resource. You don't get bonus points for not using them.
And you do role-playing, right? Other than the DM?
I have...
DM, aren't you?
I DM.
Oh, no wonder. Okay. We just figured that out. Okay. Cold, heartless.
I don't normally get to play.
Okay, so... All in all, I'll be honest with you, we were on encounters like 2 and 3 of this game in previous sessions. I'm like, well, you know, it works, but it wasn't grabbing me. This time, both of these encounters, I'm like, okay, this is interesting. I like the way this is working. And you know, we're starting to figure out the angles. And, you know, when you first come on, the baddies have like 75 hit points. And you're like, holy guacamole, how are we going to do 75? But then you manage to wheedle them down. So, you know, we're getting them left, right, and center. And it manages to work. So I think each of us really is bringing a whole different set. I mean, Sam, you're the machine gun. Chris, you're the one who brings your buddies with you. And you're always throwing a skeleton up in front of somebody who's managing to capture an awful lot of the attack. So you're soaking up a lot of damage.
Oh, for sure.
Without actually soaking up a lot of damage. I'm able to do healing, but I'm also part wizard and I'm now part shaman. So I've got some other stuff. So I'm kind of a blend, but I kind of help keep everybody up and running and doing their thing. And so I think we've got a nice blend of characters that's making it work. And I think that's added to the value of the game, is each of us are kind of playing our own.
I agree. Yeah. I've appreciated like the way the tactics have come out. Like, this is a deeper game than it seemed at first.
Yes.
Yeah. There are some oddities, right? I mean, we've said some nice things, but there are some not so nice things as well.
A couple of the cards, the wording on it.
Yeah, the wording in some places is strange. Just kind of subpar, I feel like, for card-based games.
But it has been few and far between. I mean, it's not like every other card has something wrong with it.
I mean, I guess.
There's just a couple, and that's what you're kind of stuck
right.
on.
Yeah, you're right. It's mostly with the bad guy abilities.
Yeah.
Where
the... If undefeated Griffin is on the... If a non-undefeated...
Yeah, if there is not at least one undefeated Griffin, which, like, you can parse it, but it's a little weird. And then stuff like the enemy behavior isn't always well-defined.
Right.
And even when it is well-defined, you're like, huh, why would he do that? We just did Lord Kalfek, who kind of runs away a lot.
Yeah, he spent the whole time running away. Then, like, the guy before him, the Griffin Lord, who if you... just go exactly by the book, right? He stands in one place and hits the same guy over and over until they drop dead, which is strange considering all of his abilities are about leaping across the battlefield and like leaving behind obstacles and barriers, which you'd think he would move across the field.
That was kind of like the way we played him. Whenever he had a leap attack, we made him go to a different
That was
character.
How we played him, but that's not what the rules said.
Yeah, we added a little flavor. And of course, there's nothing wrong with house ruling a game with something like that. I thought that added some flavor to
it. I agree. I thought that made it more interesting.
And they could have put a little bit more flavor on the cards, too. They could have put a little more emotion, a little bit more drama, but you know, that's fine.
They could have benefited, I think, from a second pass on the enemy behaviors, just kind of standardizing it, right? Like adding some...
And maybe an aspiring fiction author to write through some of the cards to make things sound a little more desperate or a little bit more commanding.
Yeah, you know, yeah. I've enjoyed some of the writing in the storybook, right? Mm-hmm. Where we got the whole intro where, like, because we lost the Child of Destiny, the Necromancer blasted us with dark magic that sapped our will to fight and tore at our souls. And I was like, cool. And then we took a little bit of damage. It's like, oh, well... I was expecting us to start start the encounter weakened or something, and that could have been bad, but it was like six damage. And then there are some things that just kind of happen because of the structure of the game. Like there are no game overs, right? So like this last encounter, it's spoilers, I guess, if anybody cares about that. You know, we fought the necromancer, and it's like, okay, if you beat him and you get the bonus objective, you advance to the second level of the tower and get a bunch of loot. If you fail just the bonus him. Objective,
yeah.
Then you are forced to flee from his endless horde of undead and
to the second level of the tower.
Advance to the second level of the tower. And if you totally fail to defeat him, you flee from his dark magic. His taunting laughter follows you down the corridor. It will haunt you forever. And you advance to the second level of the tower.
So you're going to the second level of the tower.
Yeah.
You don't get like...
So choose your own adventure. I mean, choose between page 26, 26, and 26.
Yeah, but yeah. How many of them were gain a level? How many of them were gain rewards and stuff?
So, yeah, you advance one level no matter what. And yeah, you get... They have a nice system set up where you have like a party supply and a party deck of random encounters and stuff. So yeah, if you do really well, you get good things added to your supply and to your random encounters. And if you do poorly, you lose good things and you have bad things added.
Yeah. Maybe this ran into it's like, man, we don't want to put people into an endless loop here. So
right, and I get it. Right, they don't want to say game over. You suck.
Well, and they can only create so many scenarios.
Oh yeah.
So they're only going to have so many encounters for you to choose from. So they got to keep kicking you along. You know, it's like when you're going through the haunted house. I mean, the baddies are always keep going. The exit.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah. And
I mean,
they
got to keep pushing you.
I get that. It sticks out sometimes. Like this, where it's like no matter what, you're going to that second floor.
Yep.
And it'd be nice. Like, hey, you're
next
going.
Next time, don't read so much, Sam.
Yeah.
And I'm just saying,
only
like, they
read
wrote,
what happens.
They yeah. wrote the Leave scenario.
There's three different scenarios. There's three different options. Don't look and see what the rewards are.
That's half the fun. We're not going to play this eight times.
No, but that's
but
all right.
Look through the book later
just,
on.
Just focus on the story.
I'm just saying, they didn't need to have this be the first floor, right? This could have been like... the necromancer's tower, and if we beat him, we go to the next location. If you fail, you go somewhere else. Then it makes more sense. Like, oh, we lost. We ran away. He stole the Child of Destiny, which apparently goes to the market, so you could then buy the Child of Destiny at a wandering
So you're saying the Child of Destiny is alive?
Apparently, well, if you brought the Child of Destiny
here... You
better
not be reading ahead.
It says it right there. Anyway, you could have gone to a second tower, and that would make more sense to me than
He's
fleeing
the guy
into
to
the,
last
the second
page
floor
of the book to find out
the mystery story, and then talks. About, I know who did it. Anyway,
I don't know too
so
many people.
Back
like
to
that.
Adventure.
I like the surprise.
Back to adventure tactics.
Okay, and so I want to talk for a minute about the leveling up before we go too much farther, because you know I started out as a cleric, and I'm sitting there thinking, okay, I'm going to chew my way up through cleric because you know if I'm going to be a cleric, I'm going to be all in. And I got up to third level, and I got some real nice kind of bennies when you do that. But I looked at fourth, and I looked at fifth, and I'm like, they're just kind of okay. They're not big jumps. So it kind of forces you to say, well, maybe you need to start looking at the other character classes. And I ended up doing one level as a wizard, because first level as a wizard gave me kind of more interesting and more powerful stuff than keeping on going up as a cleric. So you would think getting fourth level as a cleric would make you pretty badass, and it just kind of doesn't. So, and then I'm looking at more wizard. I'm like, well, no, I may as well go with shaman because that, again, so the leveling up, and this is just, you know, this is my old school D&D where you pretty much pick a class and you roll in it. And this game is much more about everybody's multi-class. I can't imagine, I mean, obviously, if you're going to go to 10th level and all the character classes.
You got to have at least two.
Five, you're going to need at least two.
Yeah, I mean, each character class goes to five. So.
Yeah, and I think the specialty classes are the ones where you kind of get the nifty stuff.
It,
and for those, you need to get
depends.
a couple of pieces.
I've looked through some of the classes have definitely received more attention than others from the designers. Like... I picked the ranger class, and the first two levels you get some neat stuff, and then the final three levels you just get like you get one extra copy of cards you got from the basic archer class, and I think like fifth level you got like a minor passive that was
so I'm
neat,
about
but
to turn a fifth level necromancer, and I get a skeleton army, and for the dice card I get another plague touch, which I don't know what that one does, but it sounds cool, so
yeah,
I'm going for it.
Yeah. I haven't gotten any dice cards.
This will be my fourth.
Mm.
But
maybe I just haven't gone for them.
I've you know, with the wizard, I went to the, I'm level two wizard, that got me a dice card, and that one's really nice because it allows me to reroll a black, or wild magic is what it gave me, to where when I do an area of effect, which is my fireball, it gives me a black die to go with it.
Maybe I should get a second level on wizard.
That would be good.
That's a thought. If you get an extra die. Yeah, I kind of thought about that too with my fireball. Because yeah. I could still get a second level wizard. Even though I've started doing shaman, I could do a second level wizard.
And I guess part of this is like, if we play this again, which I wouldn't necessarily be opposed to.
Yeah. I mean, I'd like to finish this.
Yeah. No, I definitely want to finish it. If we play through the campaign again
and
at
some
point.
And we're what, 6th level now or 7th?
This was 7th.
I'm 5 and 2, so I'll be level 7.
Okay, so yeah. We will level up to 7, which we're due to do. It's just we haven't done it tonight. Yeah. We'll do that next time we get to
But like playing through again, I think the appeal for me would be looking ahead more and being like, okay, so mechanically, what can I manage?
You mean like reading the book or studying the character?
Studying the classes. Sorry. Gotcha. Like character.
Because I'm going to take over the book. I want that suspense that...
Okay.
Yeah.
You're keeping it away from Sam, you're saying?
Yeah.
Okay, just give it to me while we're running the encounters.
Okay.
No, don't give it to him at all. Just run the encounter. Read the part that we get. And it's like, well, maybe you needed to be defeated this time, Sam, if you wanted to see what the defeat thing was.
And you know what? I've done that in video games, actually. I've gone through...
Don't doubt it.
All
gone
of the,
and sandbagged to see just how
yeah,
bad
I just
it
just
want
to see what happens.
Gotcha. But there are expansions for this now, which is basically they add some more characters, they add another adventure.
Yeah, there's some side quests. I mean, it's...
Well, no, it's, I mean, there is an expansion
oh, okay.
for it now.
I mean, it's mechanically, it's a decently interesting tactics game, yeah. right? It's basically just boss fights, but boss mm-hmm. fights are cool, right?
Yeah, and this last one had a little bit of geometry. There was some stuff on the
there
map
was
you needed to walk
actually,
around.
Actually, yeah,
and
that was
around.
Interesting. I didn't yep. like having to put out 8 little tiles every time he used his bone prison ability, but
it would nice to have terrain that you could kind of drop down, but I understand that they're removable
yeah,
and stuff.
Yeah,
so.
I get it.
Yeah.
But
and it took us a little while to figure out the
it was cool.
Tower
like
around
we
the...
Like said, it kind of wants to be a video game.
Yeah, but I think they did a pretty good job of it. I mean, we're enjoying it. We're not staring at a computer screen, and we're getting kind of
oh, no,
like
no,
that vibe.
I agree. It's yeah. it's fine as a board game, but there's a lot of elements here that would benefit from just...
Yeah.
happening for you.
I am curious as like how this would play with 4 because we're playing with 3 and we're missing like certain elements.
Especially this last guy had major abilities that didn't come into play because there's only 3 of us. Yeah.
So I think they did a pretty good job of, I mean, we haven't just sit there and gone like walked in and go, boom, you're dead.
No.
I mean, there's been
yeah,
challenges.
There's been
peril. Yeah, I've enjoyed it.
Yeah, I mean, Sam's character keeps dying. That gives you an idea.
I well, kind of like I've the idea got, of like when we go to like a game, May Game-a-thon or something like that, that we would, you know, pick 5 people and we could run through this campaign.
Just try and
you
power
could,
through
you could
it.
Do it in a day and just blow yeah. through the whole
you
thing.
You could do
it's
it.
Like, hey guys, we're going to be busy for the next like 6 hours.
That's
yeah,
Thursday.
It's basically like a civilization game.
Yeah.
That'd be enjoyable. That'd be fun.
Because there's no, you would basically just be leveling up and then resetting the boards. And because right now what we're doing is we're playing two sessions, we're packing everything
yeah,
up,
and once,
bringing it back out.
And if you were going to do it that way, you could set up all of, you could like take an extra 15 minutes and set up all of the class stuff yeah. and the level up stuff so yep. that it'd be easier to grab.
Yep. Yeah. And I'd like that because I saw like wizard and I was like, okay, I'm going to get the level 5 wizard. But then I saw necromancer and I was like, I really want skeletons.
Yeah.
And so I decided I'm going to go for level 5 wizard. So I'll be level 5. I'm level 5 now. The next round, who knows? Maybe I'll keep leveling up my wizard and make him a 5 and 5. Or will I go shaman or cleric or I don't know.
Yeah. You got 10 levels total. So
2 more I can add.
Yep,
3 more. A
couple more around. Yeah. So.
All right. I really want to mention 2 mechanical quibbles with the game.
Okay.
The first is range and movement. When you're moving, you can't go diagonally, but when you're counting for range, you count diagonally. It's a weird choice.
I kind of think it works.
It makes ranged characters much better than melee characters because
that's fun.
All of us are ranged.
Gee,
I have my magic stat.
I don't think I'm ranged anymore.
Aren't you an archer?
No, now I'm a ninja.
Oh.
You give up the bow cards?
I gave up. No, I still have them all. I just now have a range of 1.
Really?
Oh, you're right. Let me think about that. Maybe I don't.
I think
do
you've
that.
Already put the cards in. That's
you have.
Nah, we haven't moved the next
you have forgotten how to shoot an arrow.
Yeah.
More than 10 feet.
I'm now thinking about all of my cards that say attack two different targets with a basic attack. Maybe that doesn't work. That's a shame. Ninjas are cool, but
who knows? You can make it work.
I don't think so.
This means you're going to be up close to people if you do it.
I mean, they do have they do get to roll a black and a red die, which is neat. But anyway, way off track. So that's weird.
Yeah.
Right? Because you can be at a range of four from someone and they can't reach you with their four movement because when you're counting range, you can count diagonals.
I got used to it pretty quick.
I mean, it's you can get used to it, but it's strange. And it definitely throws
so what's your other one?
The damage is incredibly variable. Like, just because it's all die-based, and a lot of the dice are weighted towards extremes. And so I feel like I would enjoy the game a bit more if the damage was less variable.
Yeah,
You like to reduce risk.
Yeah,
I do. Yes.
Yeah. And I'm perfectly happy with that.
But
do six or can do one.
Yeah.
When one of my skeletons took that damage, and it was like it took two.
Right.
It could. The next time it took 12. Yeah. So it was obliterated, but it got an extra turn.
It was the same attack.
Yep.
Yeah. But it would have been against somebody else. If
would
it wasn't.
Prefer less variance because it's all over, right?
Yeah, but that just adds the.
I was gonna say, I think these dice have personality.
That adds the excitement to it. Yeah. I disagree.
Yeah, I think dice have personality.
We'll have to agree to disagree then.
Yeah. Okay. So do we want to call numbers here?
Yeah, let's call numbers.
Well, I think you were the greatest meta gaming it, so you go first.
It's a strong seven. There's a lot of character, and I'm having fun.
Yeah, and that's the whole nature of a game like this.
I'm having fun. I don't know that I would play this game by myself.
Yeah.
No,
absolutely not.
I would not play this by myself because I enjoy the banter that we have where we're trying to figure it out.
Yep.
And,
yeah. But with friends, I'm having a blast.
Yep. All right, Chris.
So
did I say seven?
You said
you did
seven.
Say seven.
Okay. Strong seven.
Strong seven.
Yeah.
Let me get rid of these ninja cards.
Yeah. I have to agree with you on that one. I mean, I'm enjoying it. I'm having fun. Three times in a row with just the three of us showing up is kind of a bit of an oddity.
Yeah.
It just worked out that way in this game.
Yeah, our usual crowd has not been coming, and just by dumb luck, it's been Sam, Chris, and I all for the last three sessions. So we've been able to go after this.
Yeah. And, I mean, this sat on my shelf for 3 years, and we looked at it, and Sam looked at it and said, let me read up a little bit on that. That looks interesting. And, you know, it was just kind of a fluke because we were going to play, if we didn't play this, we'd be playing, what, Thunder Alley?
Winner's Circle, I think, or something.
Yeah, Winter's Circle needs to be, well, the next May Game-a-thon, we need to make sure that we get that recorded so that we can share our love for the game with everybody.
Boom.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
So did you put a number on this, Chris?
No, I didn't yet, but I give it a strong seven as well.
Yeah, and I agree. I think this is very seven, and I think the standees, I think I like the art. All right, it's cartoony, but it's done really well, and I think the standees really bring that. It comes with minis as well, but, you know, the minis are gray, and that doesn't excite me as much, but I think some of the standees have actually, I think the art is a nice addition as well. I love the way the initiative works, where it's random as to who gets to go in what order, and I think that's kind of neat, although Sam has figured out a way to reduce risk in that as well.
I like the ability
to go first, no matter what.
I like the ability to let you move around an initiative, and this is bad.
So
I should feel bad.
He just needs to figure out if he still wants to be a ninja after he found out that all of his ranged weapons.
I don't want to be a ninja.
He's going through the book right now while I'm talking.
I'll be an engineer or a beast trainer.
A beast.
I can't be a beast trainer. I haven't taken level 1 fighter.
So
I'll level up rogue.
Then your next level can be. First of all, you could use the hit points. So I have more hit points than everybody else by being a cleric. The wizard has like none.
16 now. I'm up to 16.
I'm at 20.
Yeah, the archers
I'll be at
18
now.
I'm at 25, and I'm going to get more. I'm probably going to be 29 because
I won't have that many
classes. You get +4 each time. excuse me. So I have some strengths that you guys don't simply because I can actually stand up and get hit. But I think this is a nice package. When you first pull it open, it's like,
oh, there's a million cards, and they all have different categories, and you drop some in some places, but it all seems to work. I honestly get the feeling that somebody really play-tested this and made sure that the functionality was there. So I like it, and I like the variable dice. I think there's four different colors of dice, and I think they have a lot of unpredictability to the game, which
a lot
I think
of character
dramatic
brings that character into the game.
You're right. I just don't like the variance.
Well, you don't like the fact that you get knocked out.
I don't care about getting knocked out. That's fine. That's on purpose.
He's fine with
he's fine getting knocked out. He's strategic.
He dies.
You and I, we don't like getting knocked out. So we kind of avoid. It's a little avoidance of getting shot by arrows.
I burn through my hand every time.
I don't know if you've ever been punched in the head, Sam, but it kind of sucks.
I haven't, actually.
It's not the kind of thing you volunteer for.
Maybe you're just not role-playing your character right.
Maybe his character likes being dropped on his head.
That's right.
So, Adventure Tactics, Domiens Tower. Domiens Tower. I'm real happy with it. I'm glad you picked it up, Chris. First of all, I'm glad I didn't, because this is a pretty pricey game, but it's been a great play. So
You can still find it on places. I think Amazon has it, and I've seen it on eBay and stuff. So it's around $100. I mean, it is a little bit of a pricey game, and there's some expansions and stuff, but it's a good time. We've had three nights
of it. And
we've
been playing the base game strictly, right? Just none of the add-ons?
Nobody's taken the three bonus characters, which came with the Kickstarter.
The Time Mage, the Magic Blade, and the Engineer, who I might take just because I meet all of the requirements for it.
Something a little different, too.
Yeah.
Okay, so no, it's just so, I think the base game has been really enjoyable. I'm glad we got it. I'm glad we pulled it together.
Awesome. I appreciate it.
You get a turret pet if you're the Engineer.
See, that's the problem with playing with you, Sam, is you will always min-max, and the rest of us are just sort of spectators.